For those of us that are left, take your Bibles, go to 3 John. 3 John, 3 John, just before the book of Revelation, towards the end of the scriptures. 3 John, John the Apostle, other than the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, John the Apostle is the next most prolific author in the New Testament. He wrote the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation. And so he's the second most prolific author in the New Testament. But here in this short epistle, he's writing to this man named Gaius. And he's discussing some of the things that are going on in the life of this church where Gaius is a member. And we looked at 3 John verses 1 through 4 last week. We're going to look at verses 5 to 8 this week. But let's just read 3 John verses 1 through 8 this morning. John writes under inspiration of the Holy Spirit and says this: "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." Let's go to the Lord this morning and ask Him to bless as we look at this passage, showing our faith through works, showing faith through works. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, it is good to be in Your house this morning, Lord, to meet with Your people, to open Your Word and to look into it, to see what it teaches us, Lord, how we should live, how we should conduct ourselves as Your children. And I pray, Father, this morning that You would speak to our hearts. I pray, Father, that You would use me this morning, that You would empower me through Your Holy Spirit, Lord, to preach in a way that would bring honor and glory to You. That Jesus Christ may be lifted up, Lord, that He may draw all men unto Himself. And I pray, Father, this morning that as we look at this man Gaius and how he was an example of a believer in this local church, I pray, Father, that we would examine our own hearts. We would examine our own actions. And we would see, Lord, do we live up to what You ask of us in the Scriptures? To what You lift up as a role model in Your Word? And I pray, Father, that You would just help us this morning to examine ourselves. I pray, dear Father, that You would help us to put everything aside this morning. Lord, not worry about what's in the oven at home, cooking for lunch, not worry about all the cares and concerns of the week ahead. Lord, but simply take a few minutes and focus on Your Word here and focus on this time that we have together. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as I mentioned last week, there are a couple themes that run through 2 John and 3 John together. 2 John and 3 John share some similar themes. Now, the two themes that they share are this: the themes of truth and hospitality. Truth and hospitality. In 2 John, John is writing to this woman who is opening her home to false teachers. And he is warning her that she needs to stop opening her home to deceivers, that it's not a good thing. And it's based on, she needs to limit her hospitality based on the fact that these people are not preaching the truth. And then here in 3 John and 3 John, we have this commendation of this man named Gaius. And now Gaius himself is settled on the foundation of truth. It says that truth is in him and that he walks in truth. And so John commends him for that. And now we're going to look this morning at what John has to say about Gaius and his dedication to hospitality. John said this about Gaius in verse number 4. He said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And so John's saying, "I have great joy, Gaius, to hear that you are settled and grounded in the truth." Now, this week, we're going to take a look at what, as I said, about hospitality. Now, the Bible does say a lot about hospitality. Hospitality is an important theme throughout the Scriptures, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Think about different examples of hospitality. In the Old Testament, Abraham went off and fought a battle to rescue his nephew Lot from some people who had kidnapped him. And Melchizedek, this priest Melchizedek, comes forth and brings refreshment to Abraham and this as he's returning from battle. That's an example of hospitality. Lot himself in the city of Sodom, he took in these two angels that had been sent there to look at the city, to reconnoiter the city, if you will. And Lot took them in and cared for them. That's an example of hospitality. If you think about the Shunammite woman, the Bible talks about the Shunammite woman. She went so far as she built a special room on the side of her home so that Elisha could stay there as he traveled around doing the work of the Lord. That's an example of hospitality. And so we see it in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we see that Jesus stayed in the home of Zacchaeus. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, he says, I always get it confused because the children's song that goes with it. He says, Zacchaeus, come down out of the tree because I'm going to stay at your house tonight. Basically, okay? And so he stayed at Zacchaeus' home. Zacchaeus opened his home to the Lord. We see Jesus was at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus in Bethany a number of times. They opened their home to him. In the book of Acts, we see Peter staying at the home of Simon the Tanner, and we see him staying at the home of Cornelius the centurion. And then we read about Paul, and Paul stayed with many people in his journeys, but we know specifically he stayed with this woman, Lydia, and started a church in Lydia's home. And we know also that he lodged often with Priscilla and Aquila. And so this theme of hospitality runs throughout the Scriptures. Now, in this passage in 3 John, verses 5 to 8, John commends Gaius for the hospitality he shows traveling believers, because it is an evidence of his faith in God, and it shows that he is a true disciple of Christ. John commends Gaius for his hospitality to believers because it shows that he's a true disciple of Christ, and it's an evidence of his faith. This morning, let's look at three aspects of Gaius living out his faith. The first thing we see is this: Gaius's faith in action. His faith in action. Go to 3 John verses 5 and 6. It says this: Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. Beloved, he says in verse 5, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. Now, in verse number 3, John says that the brethren had already come and testified of Gaius's his walk in the truth. That's in verse number 3. So we see that these people have met Gaius, they've come to John, and they've testified of Gaius's walk in the truth, how the truth is in him. And in verse number 6, we see that they testify of something else as well. They testify not only of Gaius's walk in the truth, but they testify of his charity. They testify of his charity. Now, this word charity, we're very familiar with it. We see it in the Bible many times, is the word agape. Agape, or maybe agape is how you may pronounce it. But it's a self-sacrificing love. It's a self-sacrificing love for other people. And so we can see from what John says here that Gaius is one of these men. He is someone that sacrifices for the brethren, for these people that were passing through his church. We don't know whether Gaius was a leader in the church or a minister in the church, or he was a layman in the church. But these people would pass through, and Gaius would sacrifice for them. Gaius would make sacrifices in his own life to meet the needs of these people. Okay, to meet the needs of these people. We know that John is referring here to believers because he calls them in verse number 6... verse number 5, he calls them brethren. He calls them brethren. So he's talking about believers here. He's not talking about unsaved people. He's talking about believers. It's very likely that John is referring to traveling preachers or itinerant ministers, people who were going church to church and preaching the truth, people who were going around maybe establishing and planting churches. This is very likely who John is talking about when he calls them beloved. And then he also says in verse number 5, to the brethren, he says, and to strangers. He also speaks about strangers. Now, these probably also were believers, but they were probably believers that Gaius was not acquainted with. They were people that he did not know. It was very common back in Bible times for people to go around, for preachers to go around, and they would preach in churches. They would carry letters of recommendation from their home church, and they would go to different churches and they would preach. And now there were some problems with this. We see in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul complains to the church of Corinth because they have accepted some people on the basis of these letters of recommendation, but these people are not preaching the true gospel. These people are deceivers. But it was a very common thing back in those days for preachers to go around and they would carry these letters of recommendation from their existing church. And this is probably what it's talking about here, strangers, people that Gaius did not know personally, but they carried a letter of recommendation introducing themselves, and Gaius welcomed them. He received them into his home. And so we see here that he's talking about, John is talking about people who are believers. He calls them brethren, and he calls them strangers. And he says this about Gaius in verse 5. He says, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Now, apparently, Gaius had a good reputation for his charity and his kindness to fellow believers. He had a good reputation for his charity and kindness. It is likely that Gaius opened both his home and his wallet to these believers passing through the area. He would open his home. He would allow them to stay in his home. He would feed them. He would house them. And then often, he would probably help them out financially. In 1 John 3:14, John wrote this. John says in 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. What is an evidence that you're truly born again? What is one evidence that you're truly born again, that you know the Lord Jesus Christ? John says it's this, that you love the brethren. One of the hallmarks of being a believer is that you have a love for your fellow Christians. If you say you're a believer and you do not have any love for your fellow Christians, then you need to check your salvation. Because John says that's one of the indications that you are born again, is that you love the brethren, is that you love your fellow Christians. There is a bond that Christians share through our common Lord and through the common Holy Spirit that lives within us. Every believer has the Holy Spirit living within them. And so John says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And Gaius is acting this out. Gaius is living this out. He is showing his love for the brethren. Go to the book of James. Go to the book of James. James chapter number 2, right after the book of Hebrews. James chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. James 2, verses 14 to 17. James writes and says this, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. James writes and says, you have to have works that go along with your faith. He says, if you have a brother or a sister, they're naked and they're destitute, they have no money, they have no food, and you say to them, oh, it's nice to see you, be warmed and filled, and you do nothing to help them, you do nothing to fill their belly, you do nothing to put clothes on their back, he says, you've done nothing profitable, you've done nothing good, you've done nothing helpful. He says, works have to go alongside faith. We have faith. Faith is what saves us. Our faith, our belief in Jesus Christ is how we are born again. It's how we become the children of God. But the way we live that faith out is through our works, through showing other people the good works of God, by showing other people, by telling other people about Christ, but also by showing them the love of Christ. And this is literally, this right here is literally what Gaius was doing. These traveling ministers were coming through, and what was Gaius doing? He was accepting them into his home, he was feeding them, and he was caring for them. And he was probably even, we'll see in a little bit, he was giving them probably a little pocket money to help them along their way. He was living out what James is talking about here in James chapter 2. He was living out his faith in action. James said that our faith is made manifest through our good works. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:10 that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's why we are here. We are created when you were born again in Christ Jesus. God left you here for good works so you can show the love of Christ to other people. Gaius was living out his faith by being charitable towards the brethren and caring for their needs. He was manifesting his faith through good works. Gaius' faith and love for the brethren were made manifest through his hospitality. So first thing we see about Gaius is Gaius was a man who put his faith in action. He put his faith in action. But then we see this, secondly, that through this, he was honoring God. By doing this, he was honoring God. Go back to 3 John, verses 6 and 7. We read the first half of verse 6. Let's read the second half. He says, "Whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles." So he's talking again about these traveling preachers. He says, if you bring them forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. By receiving the brethren and caring for them, Gaius was honoring the Lord. Now these verses make it clear that Gaius was helping these itinerant preachers along their journey as they spread the gospel and planted churches. This is what he means when he says bringing them forward on their journey. We see that even the Apostle Paul uses similar language in Titus chapter number 3 when he commands Titus to bring some fellow preachers along on their journey. In Titus 3, verse 13, he says to Titus, "Bring Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them." That's Paul's command to Titus. You help Zenas and Apollos on their journey, that they have no needs, that they have no wants. You take care of their needs. And John is saying the same thing to Gaius here, that if you help these traveling preachers along on their journey after a godly sort, you shall do well. It's a good thing for you to do. This is what John meant about bringing them forward on their journey, caring for their physical needs, taking care of their needs, and helping them get to their next appointed destination, the next place they were going to preach. You need to help them get there, okay? One author wrote this. He said this, "By caring for the material needs of those who minister to us, we allow them to exercise their spiritual gifts. By caring for the material needs of those who minister to us, we allow them to exercise their spiritual gifts." Why? Because then they're not worried all the time about how they're going to put food on the table. They're not worried about all the time how they're going to put a roof over their head. He says, by caring for their material needs, we allow them to exercise their spiritual gifts. And this is what John is making a reference to. Gaius was ministering to the material needs of these itinerant preachers and allowing them to focus on the ministry. Furthermore, John says this, if you bring them forward on their journey after a godly sort. Now, this term godly sort means worthy of God. John is saying that Gaius is doing a good thing if he helps these people along their way in a way that is worthy of God. Not just to say, well, brother, you know, thanks for being here tonight. Thanks for preaching for us. Hope you have a good week. See you later. Bye. No, after a manner that's worthy of God, that's worthy of the Lord, okay? And so in a way that honors and glorifies God. And so he's saying here, Gaius, if you do this in a godly way, if you do this in a way that is worthy of God, you will be honoring God. You will do well. Okay, you will do well. And then he tells us why in verse number 7. He says that because that for his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. He said this, that for his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. He's saying these people that you're helping, Gaius, are people who stepped out by faith. They stepped out by faith. They went out not for their own namesake. They're not trying to build a name for themselves. They're not trying to build up their own little following and their own little empire. No, they went out for his namesake. They went out to honor God. They went out to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they went out. They went out doing this, and they went out and they took nothing of the Gentiles. Look, they're not taking support from lost people. They're not taking support from people who do not know the Lord. They're not taking support from people who are opposed to the things of God. They're wholly and completely reliant upon God using his people to supply their needs. That's what they're doing. They've gone out and for God's name's sake, they've gone out to glorify and honor him, and they've gone out depending upon the Lord that God is going to use his people to meet their needs. They were not relying on the generosity of the lost to provide for their work. They were stepping out by faith to do God's work. And God was using his people to supply their needs. And in fact, God was using Gaius to supply their needs in this local church. By allowing God to use him to supply the needs of these itinerant ministers, Gaius was bringing honor to God because they were doing it solely by faith and they were going out solely in the name of the Lord. In the eyes of the world, it would be a reproach on the name of God if the people he had called to go had to go around begging for support for the work of the ministry, begging for support to the lost people. It would be a reproach in the eyes of the lost if God could not meet the needs of his own ministers. If God can't meet the needs of his own ministers, it gives lost people a reason to laugh, a reason to mock, a reason to scorn. And he says, look, they've gone out in God's name to do his work, taking nothing of the lost people. God supplies his work. That's what God does here in our church. We don't take money from any outside secular groups. We don't take money. The government does not support our ministry. No, this ministry is supported by this offering bag that goes around every week, by God's people supplying the need for God's ministry. And that's what John is speaking about here, that these people went out by faith in the name of the Lord, taking nothing of the Gentiles, taking nothing of the lost. Because it would be a reproach to God in the eyes of the lost if God couldn't even support his own ministers. If they had to rely upon the lost, ungodly people to provide for the work of the ministry, that would steal God's honor. If we had to rely upon lost and ungodly people to provide for the financial needs of our church, that would steal the honor that's due to the Lord. That would steal God's glory. And so John is telling Gaius, look, they went out taking nothing of the Gentiles. But then John says this to Gaius. He says, first of all, you have your faith in action. Second of all, you're honoring God in what you're doing. And thirdly, he says, though, you will share in the blessing. You will share in the blessing. In verse number 8, he says this, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. That we might be fellow helpers to the truth. If you do this, Gaius, you're going to share in the blessing. You're going to share in the blessing. Okay? Now, while 2 John was clear, the book of 2 John was very clear that we should not receive false preachers and we should not waste our resources on them. That's what the theme of 2 John is. Don't receive false preachers and don't waste your resources on them. What John is saying to Gaius in this passage is, you need to receive true preachers, you need to receive believers, and you should use your resources to help them along their way. It's a complete opposite picture here. You should receive them and you should help them on your way. That's what he says there. We therefore ought to receive such. We ought to receive these people. Okay, we ought to receive them. And then he says this, that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. That we might be fellow helpers of the truth. We should receive them in, be hospitable to them. We should welcome them. We should help them on their way. And when he says we should help them on their way, you know what that means? That means they don't stay very long. They shouldn't be there just to mooch off of you. They shouldn't be there just to take advantage of you. That's not what John's not saying let these people come in and just, you know, hang out at your house for a month and eat up all your food and take advantage of your hospitality. That's not what he's saying. Help them on their way. That means they should not be there very long. They're passing through. They're coming in, they're helping the church for a limited time, and then they're on their way. And he says, help them on their way. But he says, if you do this, you become a fellow helper to the truth. In other words, we become co-laborers with these people in getting the truth out there. We become their co-laborers in getting the truth out there. We are their assistants in helping the truth to go forth to a lost and dying world. Go to Philippians chapter 4. We see a perfect example of this in Philippians chapter 4. Now, this is Paul writing. This is Paul writing, okay? This is not John writing. This is Paul writing. But we see a perfect example of this. If we're going to be fellow helpers, if we're going to help people on their way, we become their fellow helpers, we become their co-laborers, we become their assistants in the ministry. This is what Paul writes to the church at Philippi. Philippians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, he said. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So he's talking to the church at Philippi here, and he's talking to them about really some financial gifts that they had sent to the Apostle Paul, that they had dug into their pocket and they had sent some money to him to help him in the ministry. He is writing here concerning that they had supported him financially. He says in verse 14, he says, you've communicated with my affliction. He's having a difficult time and you've helped me out in my affliction. They knew that Paul had a great need. How they knew? I have no idea. But they knew that Paul had a great need. In verse 15, he makes it very clear. He says, you communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. So he's talking about here a financial transaction. You've given, you've helped me financially. You've given to me. But the sad thing is this. He says this. No church communicated with me as giving and receiving, but ye only. Think of all the churches that Paul planted and Paul helped to plant. Think of all the preachers that Paul trained up and Paul sent out. And he says, in my affliction, you are the only church that helped me out. You're the only church that communicated with me in giving and receiving. You knew I was in a difficult spot, and you're the only ones that helped. Nobody else helped, he says. But then he says this. He says in verse 16, for you sent once and again, okay, you sent once and again unto my necessity. They sent more than once. They supported him more than one time. It was a recurring thing, once and again. So at least twice we know that they sent to him. And then he says this in verse 17. He says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. In verse 18, Paul is commending them not because he was greedy, not because he wanted money, not because he was really seeking financial gain from them. He said, not that I desire a gift, but why? But that I desire fruit that may abound to your account. They had become his co-laborers in the ministry through ministering to his material needs. They had become co-laborers in his ministry through ministering to his material needs. He wants them to have fruit to their account. Now, this is the principle here. The principle is this, that the givers at the church at Philippi were partakers in the fruits of Paul's ministry. The givers of the church of Philippi were partakers of the fruits of Paul's ministry. Whoever came to Christ, whatever church was planted or established, the church at Philippi could be thankful that they had a hand in it. The fruit abounded to their account in God's eyes. They had a share of the blessing. Okay? It's like, not to cheapen it, but it's like when you're partners in a corporation or you own shares in a company. You are part of the business, and you receive the results of it, whatever dividends or financial gain may come from being a share owner in that company. And now Paul is saying, look, you have fruit that abounds to your account. Whoever comes to Christ, whoever knows Jesus Christ, whatever church is planted, God is applying part of that benefit to your account. You're receiving part of the spiritual benefit. You can take heart knowing, hey, I've had a hand in the work of the ministry there. We think of the missionaries we've been able to have a hand in. We sent money to Brother Woon Kai, and there's a letter back there. He runs a little orphanage there in India, and they go out into Burma and share the gospel. Some of these mountain villages are remote. There are no roads to get there. There are no lights. There is no electricity. There's no one preaching the gospel there. They'll ride on their dirt bikes 2 and 3 days to get to these remote villages and preach the gospel. And we've been able to send some money there to help them. Guess what? Whoever comes to Christ, that's fruit that bears to our account. We've had a hand in getting the gospel to these remote places. We sent some money to help out with Bible production and distribution there in Papua New Guinea. Whatever children get saved because of the Bibles that go out from that we've helped print, that's fruit that's going to abound to our account. The principle that Paul is teaching here is, look, you've been involved in the work of the ministry through ministering to the material needs, and there's going to be fruit that abounds to your account. It's not that I'm looking to get rich off of it, Paul says. I'm not desiring a gift. I'm not wanting it for my personal financial gain, but it's fruit that's going to abound to your account. You're going to share in the blessings. And this is what John is speaking of when he says, look, if you help these men on along their way, Gaius, you're going to be a fellow helper to the truth. You're going to be an assistant in that ministry, getting the truth out to a lost and dying world. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 10. Jesus says in verses 40 and 41, Jesus says this, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Jesus says, if you receive a prophet, if you show hospitality to a prophet, you're going to receive a prophet's reward. You're going to receive a benefit from their ministry. And this is what John is speaking about when he's talking to Gaius. You become a fellow helper in the truth and sending them on their way, getting them out there and spreading the gospel. In this passage, John commends Gaius for the hospitality he shows to these traveling ministers, because it is evidence of his faith in God and that he is a true disciple of Christ. Look, it's not just hospitality for hospitality's sake. It's not just hospitality for the sake of being nice. It is opening one's home based upon a mutual love for the Lord and a mutual standing upon the truth. He had already told the lady in 2 John, he said, stop letting these false teachers into your house. He goes so far as to say, don't even bid them good day. Don't even say, God bless you. When the Jehovah's Witnesses knock at your door, don't even say, God bless you, have a great day. Just say, I'm not interested. Okay? That's what you're supposed to say. John says in 2 John, do not share hospitality to deceivers. But then he says here in 3 John, He says, no, you should open your home to people who are preaching the truth. It's hospitality based upon mutual love for the Lord and a mutual standing upon the truth. We should show kindness and love and the love of Christ to unsaved people as Jesus showed us and commanded us. But the issue of hospitality is above and beyond that. It's extended to fellow believers and especially those who have an itinerant ministry. That's the context of this passage we're talking about here. I can honestly say this. My family and I have been the guests of many Gaiuses in our ministry. As many of you know, we spent 3 years traveling around America raising support to be able to come here and plant churches. And there are many, many people who accepted us into their home and cared for us for a day or two, and then we went on to the next church. I think of one specific instance where I was driving across the country by myself. I could travel much faster if I traveled alone than if I had my wife and kids in the van with me. And so I went on ahead, and then they flew across country. And so I could do the trip in 2 or 3 days, where if we had all of us together, it'd take like a week. So I went on ahead, and it was a Sunday, and I stopped at a church that I knew on a Sunday morning, and I needed to be in Washington, D.C. to pick them up at the plane on Monday afternoon. And so I drove a little bit further on Sunday afternoon, and I went to a church on Sunday evening that I did not know. I just looked it up online, found a good Bible preaching church, and I went there on a Sunday night. And I get to this church, and it was a small church. It was probably about 15 or 20 people there that night, not much different from our church here. And the preacher preached, and I got to meet some people that night. And afterwards, they asked me who I was, and I explained to them, you know, I'm a church planter going to London to plant churches. And after church, they said, well, would you like to go to dinner with us? And so I went to dinner with them, and they paid for my dinner very graciously. And then as we're sitting at dinner, this older couple said to me, they said, well, do you have a place to stay for tonight? And I said, well, I was just planning to get a hotel room here locally. And they said, no, why don't you come and stay at our home? Why don't you come stay with us tonight? And so I went and stayed with them. And they were a retired couple. I believe he was a retired postman. I don't know what she had done, but they were a retired couple. And they put me up in their home, and I spent the night there in their comfortable home, and was able to, you know, just get a good night's rest. And then the next morning, they took me to breakfast, and we had some good fellowship that morning. But they opened their home to an itinerant minister just on his way to the next place. They showed the hospitality that John is commending here. The very first trip, that was towards the end. That was right before we came here in 2013. Our very first trip in 2010, when we were just starting out to raise support, we'd never presented our ministry in a church before. And we went to a church that eventually they did take us on for support. But that night, they put one of the families in the church cared for us. They put us up in their home. The next morning, we got up and they prepared breakfast for us. The grandmother prepared breakfast for us, and they actually prepared dinner for us the night before. They gave toys to our kids. And then the husband said, Brother Ryan, I want to take you to the petrol station. I want to fill up your van. And I said, you know, you really don't have to do that. You've already been very kind and gracious to us. No, I want to take you to the petrol station, and I want to fill up your van. So I went to the petrol station, and he put petrol in our van. He goes into the shop to pay for the petrol, and he comes out carrying these big bags full of crisps and biscuits and drinks and all kinds of things. And he says, here, this is for your trip today. And then he gave me a wad of cash. And he said, and this should help you on your way. This is modern day Gaius. This is what John is talking about here. Helping these fellow believers get the gospel out there, helping them on their way, showing them hospitality. I can honestly say that I have been a recipient of many Gaiuses over the last few years. Jesus said this in John 13, 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. We already looked at 1 John 3. 1 John 3 says, you know you're a believer if you love the brethren. Jesus says, you know you're a disciple if you love the brethren. You know you're a disciple. How does the outside world know that you're my disciple? That you love one another. What is one of the worst testimonies that a church can have? A church that's always fighting with one another. And when the church is divided and fighting with each other, believe me, the outside world knows it. They know what's going on. But Jesus says, the outside world knows that you're my disciples. When? When you love one another. When you love one another. Gaius showed his faith. Gaius proved both his faith and his discipleship by receiving and caring for traveling ministers. He showed his faith. He put his faith into action. And he showed that he was a disciple by receiving and caring for these people. Now, this is the primary application of the passage. It's this hospitality. The primary application is that when we have the opportunity, we too should receive fellow believers as they labor for the Lord. It may not be something that we have a regular opportunity to do. It may not be something that is presented to us very often. But the question is this: if it was presented to you, how would you respond? Is your attitude, oh, I could never let a stranger into my home. I could never let a stranger into my home. I'm glad that that older couple in Roanoke, Virginia didn't have that attitude. They invited me into their home for the night. They didn't even know me. They didn't know me from Adam. I was just a stranger that turned up at church that night. But they invited me to stay in their home. Is your attitude, I can never let a stranger stay in my house? Or would you be willing to open your home to the brethren as Gaius did? Are you willing to be a fellow helper to the truth? That's what it really comes down to. Are we willing to be a fellow helper to the truth? That is the primary application of this. The primary context of this is hospitality. However, another application is this. How are you working out your faith? Gaius was putting his faith in actions. He had good works that proved his faith. Are you showing the love of Christ to your fellow believers? Do you have good works that are showing your faith? Are you showing the love of Christ to unbelievers? Do you have good works that show your faith? Is your faith being put in action? Or is your faith just sitting on the shelf, gathering dust? Does your faith provoke you to good works? You were saved to do good works, according to the book of Ephesians. Are you doing it? Am I doing it? Are we doing it together? We are never more Christian than when we are being an example of the love of Christ to a lost and dying world. We are never more Christian than when we are being an example of Christ's love to a lost and dying world. Jesus said this, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." How are people going to see that? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How is that going to happen? That's going to happen by you sharing the truth and by you showing your faith through your works. That's how it's going to happen. John is commending this man Gaius for opening his home to these traveling preachers. We see Gaius put his faith in action. We see Gaius honored God by providing for the material needs of these people so that they would not have to take money from the unsaved world. He honored God by what he was doing. And thirdly, we see this. He was sharing in the blessing. He was sharing in the blessing. He was a fellow helper to the truth. May we have the same attitude that Gaius had. And may we do the same works that Gaius did when God gives us the opportunity. Let's go to the Lord and ask him to bless today. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, thank you, Father, for your word. And thank you, Father, for the testimony of this man, Gaius.